Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
The following is intended for bizarre audiences only. Welcome to the Midnight Library. The Midnight Library is written and produced by me, Miranda Merrick. Our excellent sound design is by Chris at Sounds Like an Earful. We would like to thank everyone at our parent company, Astonishing Legends. The Midnight Library is being crowdfunded by our awesome patrons. They get everything first, plus lots of haunted extras. If you would miss the library if it closed, please support it. Visit patreon.com/midnightlibrary. Do this at midnight for extra protection. To find your favorite Midnight Library, Broom and Fang Pub, or League of Lady Gravediggers bizarre merch, visit redbubble.com/people/midnightlibrary. And everything will be just fine. Oh, Mr. Darling, please be a dear and see that the Swansons are comfy. And that they sign the Unseelie Court's guest book. Please?
Oh, I love the Swansons.
Wait a minute. Love as in, aren't they a sweet old couple? Or love as in, yum yum, eat 'em up, they're so sweet.
Madam, I cannot believe you even asked me this.
Well, I'm sorry, darling, and I'm glad they're not on the menu.
Although, they do say aged meat has more flavor.
Mr. Darling, darling!
The guests are here, madam.
Irma, put that down. Greetings, my dear guests. Hello. How nice to see you. Ooh, all black. Miss Jen and Miss Hannah, how lovely. Oh, everyone looks so cheerful this evening. Oh, yes, Mr. Anderson. I might try to dissuade you, but yes, you probably did see twinkling things in Phantom Forest as you passed through. Be sure to sign our guest book on the podium, please, as you find yourself a comfy seat in the reading room. Yes, I know the pen and the ink are both weird. I know. The restroom. Oh, I'm sure. Mr. Darling, would you kindly escort Mr. Mason way down the hall to the restroom, please?
Delighted to, madam.
And we'll all take bets on whether he returns to the reading room. I'm kidding. Seriously, it's like 10-1 odds at times. The twisty halls are such a problem, you know. So disorienting. Make sure he signs the guest book, please, Mr. Darling.
Certainly, madam.
There we are.
Is everyone in? Everyone comfy?
Excellent.
Good evening, everyone. I am your hopefully enchanting host, Miranda Merrick. My, this is a packed reading room tonight, and I do believe I know why that is. Any time we announce that our featured subject happens to be about magical, mythical, or even haunted or terrifying characters, well, our guests, especially our lovely, curious guests, love to hear about such beings. Now, I hope each of you has signed our special guest book this evening. It's more of a contract, really, for protection. Your protection. More on this a bit later. This evening's topic will feature the legendary creatures, fairies, and how they have been imagined and immortalized in great works of art. And I will just state up front that I will stand no conjecture as to whether the magical beings truly exist or not, as we in the Midnight Library are not belabored by any doubt of the subject. And, well, you know what they say. Some things have to be seen in order to be believed. Wait a minute. Some things have to be believed in order to be seen. And I gently remind you that the definition of sight includes your mind's eye. So, try to be more open-minded about such things, my lovelies. I highly recommend. Now, along with the luscious descriptions I have prepared for you regarding a small collection of famous fairy featured artworks, I will also be including for you several morsels of fairy life and lore. We believe these fantastical beings deserve an illustrious, multifaceted portrayal. Which reminds me, let me point out several of the delectable delights we have on the hospitality tray, which tonight is overflowing with not only foods named after or associated with fairies, but also mixed in are a few favorite foods of fairies. If you have a sweet tooth, tonight is your night. However, if you've already eaten, this could present a problem, and I would like to sincerely urge you to have a little peck at something, because refusing fairy foods can be downright dangerous. On the tray, you'll find all kinds of sparkling sugared fairy cakes, moonspell cookies, and rosemary and honey shortbread. All of these treats are extremely normal for fairies to eat and make. All fairy beings are fond of foods that are sourced directly from nature. So all of these shimmering goodies have been made with the various nectars, morning dew, edible flowers, berries, and fruits and mallows found in Phantom Forest. Even tonight's delicious tea was grown on some remote rolling acreage we own that is not easily reached by humans. It's a black tea with jasmine and amaranth flowers, sweetened with honey made by the Midnight Library bees. We have our own bees. and ingesting any small sip or crumb from the tray is guaranteed to, let's say, relax you. And again, I remind you to partake of something from the tray, or else you may find yourself viciously pinched purple
ouch
by tiny unseen fingers. Now, before we begin, my lovely guests, I want to give you the titles and names of the artists whose artworks will be featured, so that you can do a quick bit of magical research yourself and are able to see them properly. First, we have Midsummer Eve by Edward Robert Hughes. Next, we have a painting by John Atkinson Grimshaw, Spirit of the Night. And last, I have for you some descriptions from not just a single painting of fairies, but an entire book, the famous anthology by Brian Froud and Alan Lee, simply titled Fairies, spelled F-A-E-R-I-E-S. The book may be a little easier for you to get your mitts on than the original paintings. No, we will not lend you our copy or copies. Oh, my stars and garters. Ah! Oh, just a note on the origin of the word fairy and the different spellings of it. Briefly, because we could hold an entire reading on the origins of the word and the creatures from nearly every culture on the face of the earth. At its core, the word fairy is believed to have come down from ancient Latin, stemming from the words fatum or fata, referring to the three fates, three divinities who presided over the destinies of humans. How nice. So the word fate then blended with the old French word fae, F-A-E, which turned into fairy, F-A-E-R-I-E, which was linked again to the Middle English word fate, leading to the alternative spelling, F-A-I-R-Y. Well, what's the difference, I hear you thinking? Well, there's an important difference, and you may well want to make note of it. Several ethereal books we have here all concur that if you were to write the word fairy, spelled F-A-I-R-I-E, that you would be referring to the sweet, light, good fairies. However, if you write the word spelled F-A-E-R-I-E, then you would be referring to the dark fae, those capable of terrific mischief, or even dire evil. So, I suggest you address your fan mail to them accordingly. Tonight's reading in the Midnight Library is brought to you by Grimm's Grocers. At Grimm's, they know you often crave new food with some je ne sais quoi. Buy fun fairy food and even save, not baloney and boring coleslaw. Look for a stock boy with silvery eyes. His name badge will say Wild Kyle. Follow him down to the charmed supplies in the mists of the Avalon Isle. Here you'll find the enchanted shelves, filled with honey cakes, ale, and gray tea, made by pixies, goblins, and shifty elves. delivered fresh from the land of Faerie. There's dark fae treats if you dare to try, like elf eggs and crabapple scones. Deathcap and toad fruit are all in supply, made by Puck and his friend Bloody Bones. Midsummer toadstools and gooseberry crisp. Orange ogre wort bread by the slab. Elf pea wine from the Will-o'-the-Wisp. And moon cookies made by Queen Mab. Grimm's has all of these and more. On sale this week, Peg Pallor's Bowel Prowler. Made with pond scum and milk thistle, scrub your guts clean as a whistle. Pick up a seaweed pouchful today, only at Grimm's Grocers, on the corner of Vincent and Bryce. Well, my lovelies, this first painting from 1908, Midsummer Eve by Edward Robert Hughes, is surely one of the most enchanting fairy paintings to be seen. Its inviting glow has the power to transport you, I promise. The setting and scene taking place on a warm and no doubt aromatic midsummer evening, roughly around June 23rd, which you should know is a date treasured long, long ago by the pagan people of European and Swedish descent, being the day with the most light and the least dark. It was strongly believed to be a pinpointed time when nature, plants, animals, and unseen beings were endowed with their most power. But when evening gave way to night is when all of these components were used together. Certain plants were picked, fruit was turned into wine, and certain animals and people engaged in the casting of love spells just then. To employ all of these ripened things at the very moment they were brimming with heightened energies. Oh yes, the painting. In a grove of low-growing blue-green conifers, the first thing you see is a beautiful young woman in a sleeveless golden gown, wearing a dainty circlet of delicate vines and buds on her pretty head. She's quietly standing on a soft, bright green patch of grass, which looks to be part of a larger meadow that we cannot see. Although it is past dusk, she is curiously illuminated by a warm glow rising up and surrounding her from the ground. Slightly bent at the waist, with the hem of her gown politely gathered in her hands that rest on her knees, she has a tuft of pink blossoms tucked in her belt, along with an elegant flute. The pretty maid's rose-golden hair and flawless smooth skin are bathed in the glimmering light from the ring of diminutive fairies that encircle her. At first glance, the wee creatures are so subtle, you may mistake them for night-blooming flowers. But once they've caught your eye, you see them. Countless, joyous, pert and perky little beings, only a few inches tall, in the grass. The tiny butterfly-winged babes, beheld by the young maid, playfully romp, lifting shining orbs and fiery flower buds that radiate up at her in a magical moment, stopped in time. The essence of the honey-toned painting seems somehow like breathable cotton candy. Born in 1851, Edward Hughes himself, an attractive, dark, and dusky bearded character, painted many goddess and witch-like fantasy beings, full of magic and mystery. The uncontroversial artist was taught as a youth by his talented uncle, Arthur Hughes, until he gained entry into the Heatherly School of Fine Art, and unbelievably was then accepted into Britain's Royal Academy of Art at the age of 17. Midsummer Eve was instantly received by his peers and the public during its debut, and is thought by many to be his finest achievement. I hope you will view this mesmerizing painting. Irma, don't bother Mommy, me, during a reading, Sugar Booger, don't. What's this? What is it? A note from Stefan Strangeways. Oh, I'll make an exception for this. Let's see. My very dear Ms. Merrick. La 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 la. What? I would like to thank you for, let's not read that part out loud. Equine ceremony, yada, 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 library horses, phantom forest centaurs. Oh my. Well, there is a message here. He'll help us. Stefan will. To Jessie, who is certain her new kitten is possessed. What wicked kitties need most is to be caressed. For Jordan, who's waiting to find the right direction. The universe in time will reach out with affection. And to Bobby, so worried about the world, on needles and pins. Just do good when you can, Bobby. And remember, love always wins. From broken carts to broken hearts, Stefan Strangeways can be reached via Spirit Board or by writing your concern on any leaf and setting it adrift on any flowing body of water. Fascinating man, our Stefan. But I think you all know this. Thank you, Irma. Aw, my little rotten pumpkin. My little turd muffin. I'm sorry, everyone. Sorry. Next, my lovelies, I have for you a simple painting of bliss. So easy on the eye of the beholder. I fell under the spell of this particular artwork several years ago, and I'm convinced you only need glimpse it for a single moment for the same to happen to you. Art is magic, if I haven't mentioned it before, or in case you've somehow forgotten. If you ever feel down or lost or have the blahs, well, I encourage you to seek out, view, or even purchase some art that speaks to you and add it to your surroundings. It will help, I promise. This painting is from the much-admired British artist John Atkinson Grimshaw. The entrancing artwork from 1879 is titled Spirit of the Night, or Spirit of Night. And unlike the first whimsical painting that eventually featured dozens of teeny fairies working their magic, this painting, which some have referred to as a study in iridescence, features a single prismatic fay floating weightless over a sleepy watercolor village by a misty celadon and gold moonlit sea. The nearly nude female fairy is draped in a shimmering sheer white veil that's dotted with tiny lighted stars. She hovers right before your eyes, lifted by wispy pearlescent wings. The flowing locks of her brunette hair are beset with a handful of wee gilded stars. And with her left arm gracefully holding her starry mantle to her bosom, a brilliant, almost saintly glow shines intensely from behind her exquisite feminine profile. As the artist Grimshaw presents his fairy doing something I don't believe any other artist has thought to portray a fairy doing. In her outstretched right hand, the spirit of the night holds a delicate magical wand, with which she bestows a blessing on the people of the serene seaside village. Not our village, I'm guessing, but a village. Considered a master of moonlit Victorian paintings, Grimshaw was mostly self-taught and began painting professionally at the age of 24, much to the dismay of his religious parents, who actually once threw his paint set into a fire.
Oh, no!
Ah, how saintly. He enjoyed relatively good success during his lifetime, married his cousin, as people did do back then, and was most famous for his incandescent paintings of nocturnal misty harbors with reflective damp gaslit streets filled with men in top hats, ladies in elegant bonnets and long skirts, and tall masted ships adrift in the nearby waterfronts. And yes, of course, we have many of his paintings here. On a sweet yet sad note, typical of this era, the young woman who was the nude model for several of Grimshaw's paintings was Agnes Leaf, who lived near the artist and his family, and even became welcome in their household. She was given the name Little Orphan Annie, and one might guess because of her thin, waifish demeanor. Agnes Leaf contracted consumption, or pulmonary tuberculosis, that tragically took her young life soon after she was the inspiration for the artwork. And now, my dear guests, as promised, I have for you not a painting, but a book. Because I shall break the rules, break with tradition, or even break from reality anytime I bloody well please. This book, Fairies, spelled F-A-E-R-I-E-S, by Brian Froud and Alan Lee, which we own more than one copy of, and we are still unwilling to let you see, let alone even come close to putting your boogery little fingers on them. Sorry, not sorry. This book, if the good fortune of seeing this book has somehow evaded you in life, well, the fates may well be against you, and you need to rectify this happenstance as quickly as humanly possible. If you have had the further misfortune of unbelievably never having seen actual fairies, this book is seriously the next best thing. Gifted to humanity in 1978, the Fairies book enthralls the reader with fascinating insights into the wild nature and strange behaviors of many of the mystical beings. There are strikingly detailed, extraordinary paintings and drawings of airborne pixies, ornery trolls, charming elves like Irma, cheeky leprechauns, glimmering sprites, and graceful water fairies, as well as gripping depictions of dangerous, foul, and haunting creatures, dreadful giants, devious dark fae, grotesque goblins, and ravenous ghouls, just waiting to trick you, lure you away, or pull you down to your watery grave. How divine! Along with the captivating writing describing the physical features, odd habits, magical abilities, and historical lore of fairies, there's a kind of style of portrayal in places in the book that you don't often see. These are full-page artworks of perhaps 100 or so fairy beings, all jumbled together in a phantasmagorical, dreamlike scene. In a tangle of forest floor thorny brambles and climbing curlicue vines, a brilliant pale blue fairy sits sunk down in on the cushy top of a sturdy red toadstool, her translucent wings waving high from her slight back. All around her, tucked in the twisting flora and jutting fungi, are countless camouflaged and protruding faces of grinning gnomes, tumbling pixies, red-capped elves, sleeping sprites, bulbous wet toads, and enchanted halfling beings. Mushrooms with barely noticeable cunning and wizened faces. Here, there is no urgency, no meaning, no worries, no sanity or seriousness. Honestly, if I find I'm not welcome nor suited for either heaven nor hell, I would happily reside here for eternity. I should check for availability. The Fairies book by Froude and Lee has sold millions upon millions of copies worldwide and has spawned several commemorative, expanded, and anniversary editions that include previously unpublished artworks. The famed authors and artists have served as creative consultants for the fantasy films Labyrinth, Legend, The Dark Crystal, and Lord of the Rings. Yes, Mr. Darling?
The... A special guest book is no more, madam.
Oh, my. Thank you, Mr. Darling. Well, if you were one of the hopefully few who tarried too long or dilly-dallied by the fire or Freya forbid, outright refused to sign tonight's special guest book belonging to the fairy folk, well, I can only say that I wish, mostly, that heaven would help you, but heaven, we happen to know, holds no sway over what those from this middle kingdom choose to do to you. So, just bear this in mind as you walk the meandering path through Phantom Forest. On your way, hopefully, home. you can't say I didn't warn you. I'm always on your side, my lovelies. Oh, now no crying. And no, you cannot remain here. That would hardly be any better. Mr. Darling is waiting. I wouldn't say patiently, but he is waiting to escort you out the door. Which will, of course, be locked behind you. Good night, my dear guests. Good night.
Well, you're back from your prowl early, darling. Oh, you don't look so good. You've gone green.
I feel green. I decided to pounce on the Swansons and to try that aged meat theory.
No.
No, indeed, madam. Aged meat from the butcher might be good, but I can tell you, it completely loses its allure when it's slathered in Old Spice cologne, rubbed all over with vapor rub, and wrapped in depends.
Ooh, now I feel green. Here, share some mint tea and fairy cake with me.
No fruit, right?
Never. And now we have a surprise for you. We in the Midnight Library are thrilled to introduce just what you've been waiting to get your boogery fingers on. Books from the Midnight Library shelves. But books with a single catch. You must write them. We're pleased to be releasing the first set of Midnight Library blank books. They are journals, a dream book, a planner, an address book, and a recipe book. Now available on Amazon. The titles are Dreams in the Witch House, a Dream Journal, The League of Lady Gravediggers, Where the Bodies Are Buried, for, record keeping, Spells to Correct Annoying People, that one's self-explanatory, Ghoul Fiends, a Planner and Address Book, The Witch's List. Well, I'm sure the beep explains this one. And Grim Recipes for Ghoulish Gatherings, a recipe book from Grimm's Grocers. All of our fine blank books have pages in the layout directed by their titles, with ruled lines for journaling and planning and recipes, or for keeping addresses, or more importantly, secrets. Find them on Amazon under their titles or by the name of the collection, Forbidden Books from the Midnight Library. The Midnight Library is written and produced by me, Miranda Merrick. Our excellent sound design is by Chris at Sounds Like an Earful. We would like to thank everyone at our parent company, Astonishing Legends. The Midnight Library is being crowdfunded by our awesome patrons. They get everything first, plus lots of haunted extras. If you would miss the library if it closed, please support it. Visit patreon.com/midnightlibrary. Do this at midnight for extra protection. To find your favorite Midnight Library, Broom and Fang Pub, or League of Lady Gravediggers bizarre merch, visit redbubble.com/people/midnightlibrary. And everything will be just fine.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.